Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Ready to feel more reassured about your future? Start or top up your pension today. Visit zurich.ie to learn more.
The Israeli military said that it had resumed enforcing the Gaza ceasefire agreement, but this comes after at least 100 people were killed in a series of strikes launched by Israeli planes yesterday. The ceasefire deal is now 3 weeks old. Gaza's Civil Defence Agency, which operates as a rescue force under Hamas authority, says that the airstrikes targeted tents for displaced people, homes and the vicinity of a hospital. Israel has said that the strikes were in response to Hamas violating the ceasefire. Oliver McTiernan is the founder and co-director of Forward Thinking and has worked on conflict resolution and mediation in the Middle East and elsewhere. And he joins us on the line now. Good evening, Oliver.
Good evening, Claire.
I mean, this has been described as the gravest challenge yet for the ceasefire. You know, the ceasefire was broken with the launch of those strikes, with the casualties, with children being killed. I mean, what's your analysis of where things stand now?
Well, I'm hesitant to call it a ceasefire. I saw what was launched 3 weeks ago was a unilateral ultimatum. It didn't come from negotiated process. It was Benjamin Netanyahu and Donald Trump saying, look, this is it. Take it or leave it. Now, Trump did say, I'll be fair to all, but he's got to prove those words now. I think he's got to rein in Netanyahu because his language right from the beginning of this war hasn't changed. His first goal, he repeated and repeated, and even when the ceasefire was announced, he was still talking about ending the job, and that is seeing the total demise of Hamas. So I think we're in a terribly fragile situation, and I doubt if it'll not escalate further.
Yeah, we talk about the casualties here. At least 46 children were killed, 20 women, 200 people injured. That's according to Gaza's Civil Defence Agency. It is one of the deadliest attacks we've actually seen on Gaza, even outside of a ceasefire period, Oliver. And are you, like, let's talk then about Trump's comment that nothing will jeopardise the ceasefire. I mean, this clearly has. So, you know, are we kind of playing with language now as to what's happening? And what do you think is happening behind the scenes to try to calm things down and bring them back to some sort of a truce, albeit a fragile one?
I fear, Claire, that he's been ill-advised. If he's aware of what is going on the ground, and if he's true to his word, I'll be fair to all, then he should see that for the last 18 days, there's been lots, I think it's over 200 now, Palestinians have been killed. But, you know, worse still, the food situation is horrendous. I get messages every day from Gaza where people saying they still haven't eaten meat, they can't, or chicken or fish. What is coming in is mostly commercial, and it's being sold at extremely high prices in the market that very ordinary people just can't afford. We've also got an enormous outbreak of hepatitis. So all of the care for the people is not actually being exercised at present.
Benjamin Netanyahu, in ordering these strikes, he said he did so after a firefight between Palestinian militants and Israeli troops, and Hamas has denied responsibility for this. So there is a concern, isn't it, that there's different factions on the ground doing their own thing, potentially sparking further conflict here. Is that a possibility? And what can Hamas do in this space and right now to try and calm things among those who, you know, the differing factions that are out there?
Yeah, that is a real, real problem. The agreement, as it or whatever, was announced. It was a spoiler's charter, a dream for a spoiler on both sides, both the Israeli and the Gazan side. I think in the lead up to this ceasefire, we know that the Israelis were arming some of the tribes or clans that are in Gaza. And someone like the Dogmooshes, whom, you know, I've been around since I've been going there, 2004. The Dogmooshes were a very violent group. It was they who kidnapped Alan Johnson, the BBC reporter, and held him for so long. Now, I fear that they, with the restrictions put on Hamas police and security being able to move around, I think the plan, the the gangs or the clans can actually create havoc. And that should have been foreseen. I think if the ceasefire had been negotiated properly, there should have been put in place mechanisms that could deal with breaches without seeing what we have seen now, an escalation of the bombing and so forth.
You could say that Israel is using all of this as an excuse, of course, to try to wield its might and show that, look, it still has power over the situation here.
I have no doubt that's exactly what Netanyahu is doing. You know, he's seeing that he's going into elections. He wants to be the security man now, the strong man. October 7th was a breach of the security. It did him a lot of damage. So for the last 2 years, he's been trying to reverse that image. And I fear that unless Donald Trump, it's no good saying, well, it's the ceasefire's on track or you'll have a few skirmishes. You really have got to get a grip and say a ceasefire is a ceasefire. It means no exchanges. And if there is, then it has to be a mechanism of dealing it with through negotiation, not bombing.
Well, we have to see what happens here now and where those negotiations go in order to ensure a maintenance of some sorts of the very fragile peace. Some would say it's not remotely peaceful there right now, but the ceasefire deal that is in place in theory for the past 3 weeks. There, leave it. Oliver McTiernan, founder and co-director of Forward Thinking, thank you for your analysis.